Grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Okay, we're going to continue this. We're going to continue this workshop. What we want to focus on now is I believe both start off somewhere around 1982, and we're going to start from with Dave sharing some things about 1982 things that worked, things that didn't work, and then we want to come up to the present and look at maybe some questions you may have or some type of a solution process that we have or that we want to begin looking at. So with that, what I want to do is we can get Dave from the back to the front up here, and he's going to start off where Bo left off. Ready, Dave?
All right. Okay. I got to finish taking my vitamins, y'all.
Anybody got a white chip?
Well, if lithium's a salt, why don't we use it on steak? I'm supposed to open this session here.
Hello, WSO. Hello, WSO.
My name's Grateful Dave, and I am an addict.
Hi, Grateful Dave.
Hi, family. Send one to Stu Tordman, will you? Yeah, sure.
Not for publication. You might copyright that.
No, I can break my anonymity, but they can't. The title is... No, send this to World Service Office. Oh, okay. All right.
Know what I mean? Burn?
Well, look, the title of this section is called Problems and Possible Solutions. And as you kind of have gotten the idea over the course of the weekend, I probably can recount verbatim problems that have occurred over the past, bunch of years because I am sort of an ahistorian. I didn't start out to be that way, you know what I mean, but God had other ideas. Plus, if it was up to me, I'd go sit like a knot on a log in a group somewhere and drink coffee and go, oh, I'm here, you know. I don't know where y'all seen this here. This is called an inventory input document. And I put this together with a couple of people down in Philadelphia. It was for a while. It used to be the radical capital of the East Coast this year, but all our regional servants sold out and took positions, you know. So basically, this here is a suggested format for groups, areas, and regions to inventory world service performance with recommendation for action. Now, there's a lot of superfluous fluff in here, Maybe you want to attempt to get a copy. There was one of these sent to every region in the world, every RSR, every alternate, every conference participant, chair, board of director, trustee, and vice chair, and an attempt to foster discussion at the World Service Conference. We have learned that the World Service Conference is not a place to discuss things. It is a place to beat up on each other for about 15 hours a day, once a year, and ignore each other. So what I'm going to do is I'm kind of going to read through a summary of events that cause concern, and then I'm going to go into, kind of like, this ain't all, but these are the high points. So take notes, ask questions. If you have a problem, that you want to talk about, come up and say what the problem is. If you have a solution that you want to talk about, come up and give us a solution. If you just want to come up and run your mouth, stay seated. So, the summary of events that cause concern. The deletion of group conscience material from the basic text, fourth and ninth tradition language, 1982. Deleted language from tradition poor was second paragraph, third sentence, used to read. The answer is that these things are not N.A. And also sentence number six used to read. All else is not N.A. Deleted language from tradition 9 was in the last paragraph. The deleted third sentence read, none of them has the power to rule, censor, decide, or dictate. And then there was a phrase that was deleted that they exist to serve the fellowship, but they are not a part of Narcotics Anonymous. These deletions dramatically affect the meaning of these traditions. Controversy over our World Service Office resulted in the firing of our office manager in 1983. That's Jimmy Kinnon. We've talked about that all day here. WSC Minutes, 83, page 32. We direct the policy subcommittee to rewrite the service structure for approval, but everybody that I know that was at the conference says it was for review. Okay? At the WSC. And what we're talking about here is that we were given an inaccurate history or incomplete history of the history of a guide to service and how that got started. The select committee was appointed in 1983 at the World Service Conference to rewrite the blue and green service manual, which the first 15 pages of one was approved and the second 15 pages of another was approved the subsequent year. And they compiled all this stuff with a bunch of input from other regions and policy committees and what have you. And two policy committees refused to deal with it, so they created a select committee at the conference that is still working, folks. They just changed the name to the Ad Hoc Committee on NA Service. Their whole idea is to, is to go on. They never ask. Okay, the appointment of a select committee by the WSC chair in 1984. This committee was only to review the 83 policy report, which I just told you what it was, and prepare it for fellowship review by November 84. The select committee failed to meet the November 84 date and continues to work. Somewhere along the line, the select committee decides that it is supposed to totally rewrite our service structure all by itself. CWSC 84 minutes, page 5, 9, 14, 15, and 22. The WSO hires unauthorized hiring of professional writers in 1985 and 1987. What happened was that the conference passed a motion in 1985 to have the basic text professionally added for grammar, punctuation, syntax, singular and plural, verb tense, and that kind of stuff, but was not to change the concept of it. When they hired the writer to do that, the writer didn't do that, but in fact, what the writer did at that time was become the author of a white copy of approval copy of It Works, How, and Why, which was then referred to as the 12N12, but it was like... And I have the letters over here that were hired before the conference in 85. And the conference in 85 was where the motion was brought up, and everybody was upset because they went and hired this, professional writer without consulting the conference, without consulting the fellowship. The unauthorized contracts for the STEP portion of it works cost us $100,000. Nobody approved that but the WSO Board of Directors and the Board of Trustees and the chairperson of the World Service Conference. Those people were, at that time, it was Sally Evans, George Hollihan, and I love him, man. Stand for something, fall for anything. That's it. So then after the fellowship voted down the sober approval copy of It Works How and Why, was written by Jacqueline Lair, who was 16 years sober in AA and was a friend of Sally Evans, and that's how they got together for that contract. And of course, that's a documented fact right here. I got it. Problems. We're talking about problems. We're talking about our service structure doing things on self-will, see, without consulting the fellowship first. Okay? And then, and Bo remembers this when we were in Newark, remember when they said, oh, man, that $60,000 we spent for the professional traditions is really unusable. And Bo says, well, we can't hide it from them. They'll find out anyway. Remember? Yeah, so we wasted $160,000, see, without consulting the fellowship. And we spent another $200,000 giving World Literature Committee money to do It Works. If you want to avoid guidelines in this fellowship, you create an ad hoc committee. Ad hoc committees don't have to follow guidelines. So the World Literature Committee has become ad hocs of two people. Okay? That's what it was last year. That's why they could get. And then they went off and they're doing like these, all these backdoor things and telling us that our input is sixth grade and blah, blah, blah. Problems, problems. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, we got problems. The WSO was presented a gift of the World Convention Corporation after the Chicago Convention. The World Convention used to be under the auspices of the Fellowship, and 40% of the money went to the World Service Conference to help support the volunteer service structure. In 1985, the D.C. Convention Committee kept $85,000 in CDs, and the World Service Office went down there with a special rescue committee. John Curley and Dutch Huber and some other people, Tony Daddio, went down there who were, bigwigs in NA at the time, and rescued the money, and the WSO took the corporation at that point and made it a wholly owned subsidiary of the World Service Office, removed the ability for the convention to be bid on need and be passed around, and took the money from the total money and kept that and put it right back into the World Service Office. And it's been that way since 1985. So I don't go to World Conventions no more because it was stolen. That's just an indication of some of the stuff that's been going on in the name of carrying the message to the addict that still suffers, you know. The 1985 and the 87 Guide to Service was written by the Select Committee, see, and without asking the fellowship for approval in the conference agenda to rewrite the service structure, okay. Professional editing, that's wrong. Excuse me, I'm... Got to flip it over. I'm flipping in the wrong direction here. I'm trying to go over this quickly. And it's hard to go over it quickly, you know. It really is. Board of Trustees' failure to respond to fellowship problems, to fulfill their oversight functions, and to report the true nature of office and conference activities to the fellowship at large. The Board of Trustees have gone from impotent to omnipotent in one fell swoop. The creation of a WSO dependent fellowship relations outside the borders of the U.S. through the unauthorized use of office staff, WSO resources, materials, and money. This is a part of an overall unapproved marketing and public relations merchandising effort undertaken by the executive director and the board of directors of WSO. And what I'm talking about is going to Cairo when there's three meetings in a treatment center and needing an Arabic basic text, and going to Brazil during carnival time and taking a guy from the Florida region down there with him on a WSO ticket because he speaks Spanish, and the assistant executive director, George H., don't speak Spanish, but they speak Portuguese in Brazil. So, you know, what we're doing is we get in the fast shuffle, the shuck and jive, see? We've been getting the shuck and jive for a long time, okay? And, all right, the Joint Administrative Committee, like, who in the hell gave them the right to make motions? They took the right to make motions. They were never given the right to make motions. They were supposed to add motions, not create them. They were supposed to add them to the conference agenda report when they came in from the regions. The JAC has become an unauthorized block between the regional structure and the committee structure of the fellowship. So the JAC ignores the conscience of the fellowship and held an unapproved expanded joint administrative committee meeting in July of 89. Then covers up by changing the name to Expanded Ad Hoc Committee on NA Service. When confronted in St. Louis, Jack Bernstein went, well, that was an expanded ad hoc meeting from a guide to service that we never asked for at a cost of $35,000 per meeting. They held two last year. So the total ticket is mounting up, see. The freedom with the money that belongs to God, see? The money that comes from your basket in your home group and is generated in Narcotics Anonymous vis-a-vis anything doesn't belong to us. It doesn't belong to a corporation. It doesn't belong to going to, $5 a pound coffee. What it belongs to is it belongs to carry the message to the addict that still suffers. We have no moral right to capriciously use these funds and to spend them in ways that are not the most thrifty possible. Okay? All right. So anyway, the meeting that was held there was chaired by the Joint Administrative Committee chair, not the ad hoc chair. So how could they call it an ad hoc committee if they wouldn't allow the ad hoc committee chair to chair the expanded ad hoc meeting? Oh boy, have we got problems. Not enough time given to the fellowship to study changes in policy that affect our groups and services. JAC motion number 6 at WSC 89 keeps all service-related material from fellowship eyes. This motion with JAC motion number 3 and last year's agenda, thank God it was tabled, which means yes, but, you know, next year. Said that coupled with the policy committee motion number 6 in the 88 conference agenda will assure that groups have no say in service manuals or WSC committee guidelines. The World Literature Committee is ignoring and changing its own policies and guidelines. The WSO financing and using special workers in literature projects and service-related projects in contradictions of tradition 7, 8, and 9. This was before they were approved to be used. Okay? The Supreme Court decision, June 5th, 1989, that affects the copyright ownership. It's amazing how the staff team writer approach became real popular right about the time that the Supreme Court was deciding this very important copyright issue. That decision is the Community for Creative Nonviolence versus Reed, June 5th, 89, which specifically deals with the relationship of an employer and an employee and who owns materials made for hire, unquote. If WSO Incorporated is allowed to have writers of literature or service materials as paid office staff, our copyrights could be taken from fellowship control. The creation of a Canadian service conference without the specific knowledge or request of home groups in Canada. There was a meeting that occurred at 7 o'clock in the morning on one of the World Service Conferences by Bob Stone and several of the delegates from the Canadian regions, and they came up with this idea that they were going to start a Canadian Service Conference. Of course, this was the big thing. Nobody disputed any of the documentation in this inventory input packet on the Florida World Service Conference except this one. Well, you know, some good detective work and, you know. So I had to say to people, well, you know, maybe I was wrong on one. What about the rest of them?
Well, yeah, that's true, but we should focus on today.
Well, you know, how can you focus on today without taking an inventory? Because you're all bogged down in the past if you don't focus on today. I got to get rid of the past to get to the present. This is one of the reasons why we're doing a history workshop. And then, okay. So they used office staff to put all this together. Board members and trustees and RSRs and members of committees traveled back and forth to Canada. You know, it was supposed to be their model service structure placed on the guide to service. Did you ever wonder why Canada had their guide to services and the drafts for the guide to service before the American Fellowship? This is a plan. There is a plan to do away with everything that we know about service in Narcotics Anonymous that was based on the 12 traditions and the NA tree that has been going on for a long time. Fawn talked about it. The people who started it are still doing it. They just change places like chameleons, you know.
What? I thought I saw a rock.
Well, it is a rock, but it looks like a human. WSO and WSC seems to be creating an independent, autonomous service office and service structure whose relationship to the fellowship and its desires are virtually non-existent. Did any of you want the trustees to have a blank check to write the traditions? Did any of you, you know, did that come out of your region? Like, you know, yeah, we want the trustees to have a blank check. Or how about motion number three? You know, motion number three was, well, if you guys don't like what we do, then you can fix it next year. But the committees can write their own guidelines and just let us know. What are they doing? They're taking the control away from the ultimate authority, which is the loving God expressing himself in our group conscience through our ninth tradition. They're taking away that authority and control and making the World Service Conference, which is actually the lowest element of the service structure, because an educated home group member is the crown jewel of the service structure. That's where it all begins and ends, is with the member in the home group. There is no such thing as an area conscience. Areas don't have conscience. Where does it say that in the traditions? You know, we look at our traditions. It talks about groups, group conscience. Well, you know, if you manage to fuck up and let that word slip out of your mouth at the World Service Conference this year, you were booed off the floor. Spiritual principles got, you know, I mean, if you were just bumbling enough not to, you know, talk their language. Group conscience does not exist, folks, in our world services. It never did. And it doesn't now. So when you get something coming down the pike that has World Service Conference or Board of Trustees or this one or that, you know, some kind of official looking stamp on a letterhead, look for money, control, If you can see the issues that confront our fellowship in the context of those two things, then they make perfect sense.
Well, you know, what is there to gain?
You know, well, for a lot of addicts, power and prestige are much more seductive and much more meaningful to them than money. Well, man, you take somebody that was crawling around on a floor looking for shit that sparkled with a straw in their nose, you know, a couple of years ago and eating out of dumpsters, and you say, well, you know, gosh, I'm a world servant now, and, you know, I'm chair of this, and I'm chair of that, and boy, I'm the international coordinator for this. I mean, you know, what a ego-gratifying thing that might be, you know, and to make that climb to that level of service, when do you have time to work a job in the steps? Believe me, I know. I tried it. Glad I went crazy before I got a position on a world level and had to work the steps. Okay. Voting by RSRs at WSC on motions that have never been reviewed by the entire fellowship via the conference agenda report, and not asking that motions that will affect NA as a whole be tabled until the next WSC and published in the conference agenda report for the following year. Well, for crying out loud, AA does that. AA don't vote on shit capriciously. Of course, they ain't voting on nothing, but, well, that's, I'll strike that from the history books. Okay, the suspending of conference committee business. We were sent out a document called the 12 Principles of Service. It said, in the 11th principle, it said, under no circumstances should NA services be interrupted. Okay? So even the people who were proselytizing this guy to service in these documents and these principles had interrupted and canceled the World Service Conference committee business for the course of the year. Well, we don't have enough money to fund the committees, but we have enough money to spend $70,000 to fly all these people to talk about a service structure that we never asked for. Yeah, we got problems. Our ninth tradition says that we may create service boards and committees directly responsible to those they serve. Now, what's the flip side of that? The flip side of that is that we may uncreate them. If a service board or committee does not directly responsibly serve the needs of those who created it, it's deadwood. It's baggage. It's a drain. It's a problem. You know? Directly responsible doesn't mean your fucking guy's got to be responsible. That's a two-way street, too. We have a responsibility. You know? We cannot afford to abdicate our responsibility under God to determine the direction of our fellowship, or we will lose it. In my view, we lost it, this World Service Conference. And I never said that before. I always thought that there was a way to pull it back. And maybe there is, but the only thing they understand is hardball, reality. Hit them where it hurts. And where does it hurt? If they can't fly around on their ego trips and stay in the fancy hotels no more, the semi-pro and professional NA member, then maybe services won't be attractive. We'll get back to hitchhiking and stuff like that when we used to get things done for nothing. And when the attic was precious. And the power was not the... the ultimate goal. And yeah, sure, I bet you they go home and pray at night. I wonder what they pray to. I don't know. Anyway, they suspended all these committee meetings. I mean, I got the reports right there. We are suspending the conference committee business as usual because we can't afford to do that, but we will be meeting in Albuquerque to discuss the principles of service and the guide to service, signed Tim Banner, policy chair. He was reading all this stuff I sent out, and he was going, "Ah, yeah, this is right on," until he saw his name there, and he goes, "Oh, gosh, they're talking about me." And, but you know what they've done for years is they've taken the champions, the people who believed in something, and who stood up on the Florida conference and said, "Look, you know, this is wrong," and took moral stands. People used to say, "No, I don't want a position. No, the conscience of my region says that this is wrong, and I represent the conscience of my region." Now they tell you you're a world servant, and you don't represent the conscience of your region, but you're really representing the best interests of NA as a whole. So what we've got is a lack of moral leadership in our fellowship. You know, they rub down the champions and say, "Hey, I know you had a motion to disband the JAC, but how about if we elect you vice chair of policy, Mitchell? You know, you can become vice chair of policy. You just put that motion to disband the JAC in your back pocket, and you can work from the inside. And how about you, Al Reiser? You know, you came out here with a motion, unanimous group conscience, to return the traditions to the fellowship, see? To return the traditions to the fellowship, unanimous regional conscience. How would you like it if we let you have a position on the trustee traditions ad hoc committee? Wouldn't you like that, Al? Well, yeah, you can do so much good representing your region's point of view from the inside." And zoom, za, zoom, za, zoom. And our world history is littered with the wreckage. Okay? The reason we have regional policy in Philadelphia is because we had 5 RSRs in a row that went out there and became world this and world that, and we never saw them again. Conflict of interest. We don't have people in world service working a program. They work service real good. They know how to survive. They know how to go out there year after year and end up going back, man, on them plane trips. And what are they doing? Are they leading us, or are they selling us down the river? Do we need them? What do we need them for? To take $4,000 to travel in a year? So when they come back from the conference after being totally maligned and laughed at and ridiculed, to save their position, to tell us, "Well, maybe we just need to work from within and let our voices be heard." Man, you know, we've been doing that since 1982. Mid-Atlantic RSR. "We will not buy the books unless you put the language that was deleted back in." What'd they do for him? They made him policy chair and then trustee. Oh, well, you know, relax, man, relax. You work from within. All right. I mean, if we got problems, is it evident? I mean, these are just recent, like, you know. Since 82. That's where Bo left off about, was 82, the approval of the text. Let me tell you, to talk about it worked.
I got a question. You know, about where you're at, is Bo left off from 1982, the literature project. Can you share some information from 82 to...
Yeah, well, that's what I was fixing to do. I mean, you've all heard me talk about today how the deletions and the additions and all this stuff, how many basic texts we've had and all that, and I just told you about the professional writers and the contracts that were done and the disunity and the controversy that it cost. And, you know, and I got a past world lit chair here who's been there through it all, going, yeah, well, you know, if I run afoul of the truth, please, you know, let me know. All right, let us know if I'm sitting up here blowing off bullshit. I know you will. Yeah. So while I'm going to... Huh? I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to do that. Hey, man, I'm reading facts here. You know. Well, you know, sue me. Anyway, you know, I can't be spiritual all the time. You know, I'm trying to be as spiritual as possible, because if I told you what I really wanted to do, you know, but never mind that. Okay, they're surprised at the fellowship to find out that the trustees have been allowed by WSC to take over the writing of the traditions book. I mean, that just appeared on the Florida World Service Conference. I mean, you know, hey, we've had a lot of problems in lit, you know. We had a world literature chairperson that took the literature files out of the World Service Office and blackmailed the World Service Office manager into giving her a paid position before she, you know. I mean, come on. I mean, are we going to stand up, you know? Are we going to tell the truth, you know? Okay, so here we go, you know. Then we had a world literature vice chair that was caught by the office staff breaking in the files to get regional input out during It Works How and Why. And he was taken on the Florida Board of Trustees and reprimanded. Did you ever hear about that stuff? Is this your fellowship, Narcotics Anonymous? Did you get a chance to talk about these things? Did anybody ever tell you the truth? Or did they cover it up and make it look pretty? Isn't everything pretty and nice, Narcotics Anonymous? Oh, boy, watch how it glitters and shines. Well, there's nothing wrong with Narcotics Anonymous, like I said yesterday. And that's the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. Those are perfect. Perfect. People are imperfect. Our structure is imperfect. Okay? So anyway, nobody asked for all this bullshit to go on, man. Excuse me. Summary of events that cause concerns. Did anybody vote on having a $38 basic text? Did you guys ask for one of them? Let's see. Having the WSO being able to adopt, amend, or repeal their bylaws, or to pay themselves whatever they want. Did you know that WSO sells 45% of all its literature to outside enterprises at a cheaper price than they'll sell to the fellowship? Did you know that $5 million was the gross income of the World Service Office last year? And they stood up on the Florida conference. Right before the conference, they raised the shipping price. And on the Florida conference, they says, well, we're broke, man. We got to raise the price of literature. We can't fund this stuff. If you want something to die, don't fund it. It's a good lesson being taught to us by our World Service Office. If you want something to die, don't fund it. If they ain't got money for plane tickets, they ain't going to fly. You know how much the volunteer service structure, our world volunteer service structure gross income was? $280,000. Now, we had an office that had a gross income of $5 million that says, well, we're not part of you. We can't give the money back to you legally. You can't use it in your volunteer service structure. And then we have them, their travel budget was the same price as what our entire volunteer service structure had to do all its work with in the world. Something's wrong. Take a snapshot. Step back. Oh, wait a minute. I don't think Jimmy Kennan had that in mind, or this guy had that in mind. You know? But I think some real Sharpies, like the former World Service Office manager, he was a paid consultant. You know what a consultant is, right? A consultant tells you how to get around the rules and to maximize your profits under the law. Bob Stone was a paid consultant for political candidates and also a consultant for nonprofit corporations in California. And he was brought in to help orchestrate the changeover from a zero money profit office into the multi-million dollar corporation with 48 employees that are overachievers that we have today. Okay. The WSO has been subsidizing the formation of regional structures outside of the fellowship, paying travel, paying lodging, sending people over there. I mean, you know, I gave you a couple of examples. WSO has no financial guidelines whatsoever. They have no accountability. They have not given us a certified audit like they're supposed to under California law. Okay? Okay. What we've had in our literature is like an attempt to pretty up our literature so treatment centers will buy it, because that's where we're selling a major portion. What's up with that? That's a major portion of our income is going to be coming from the treatment community worldwide. When I first got clean, 30% of the NA members that came around were, you know, and I was on World PI back then, you know, in the early days, so we had these figures available to us, but 30% of our members came through some kind of an institution that was just some kind of an institution. But approximately 70% of our members were walk-ins. Walk-ins off the street, you know. And so, but that's turned around. Them percentages are totally reversed today. So we have to look pretty for the outside enterprises. Our literature has to be slick and well-written, you know, and devoid of anything controversial that may go against their treatment modality. So, at any rate, we spent a lot of money. Now, on the literature deal, there's been a lot of talk about how addicts can't write and how the literature process hadn't worked. Well, in 1984 in Santa Monica, they put together this little draft called It Works, How and Why. Well, they didn't have a title for it. They called it the 12 and 12. And basically, it was like because, you know, we had a basic text, and now we need a 12 and 12. But back then, most people called the basic text the NA Big Book. Well, you know, interestingly enough, the AA Big Book was called the Basic Text, so it's a little schizophrenia that I hadn't you gotten to figure out. But anyway, you know, it was like, you know, my sponsor says, you know, he's giving me the 12 and 12 to work, so, you know, we needed a 12 and 12. So, okay, it was a legitimate thing, so we got us a 12 and 12 on input in that California workshop, and then went to Ivy Dale and here and there. I will tell you that there has not been a single piece of fellowship input used in a book-length project since that draft in 1984. Every piece of input that has been sent in by regions, areas, groups, and members on It Works, How, and Why has been put in who knows where, file 13. We went out and we worked in Chicago. We had 10 world literature workshops. It was beautiful. We flew around. Well, boy, we had a dog and pony show. And it was great. And it was an attempt to return to the old days because the fellowship had it up to here. That project was deliberately sabotaged. That literature project. Our Steps and Traditions books have cost us so far about $650,000 total, if you throw in the $81,000 that the World Literature Committee is going to get for a budget this year. What the hell are they going to do with it? I don't know what they're going to do with it, because they got staff team writers that are going to be paid by the office to do all the work. What are they going to do, fly around? Oh, they're going to give us for those in treatment and in times of illness, or in times of AIDS, or whatever, you know, more outside. Do you notice how we're catering to treatment centers now? It's like, let's get us up for those in treatment, and let's talk about, you know, behind the walls. Well, they missed a bet there. They could have got really generic. How about for those who are unable to attend regular NA meetings? Man, they could have sold that everywhere. It's interesting how none of the steps and traditions work has any reference at all to the basic text. It's interesting how there isn't a single line out of anything in the basic text. Conference to protect and preserve these principles that we hold so near and dear, and send our RSRs as usual to the World Service Conference, but take care of our own business at home. You know, quit beating our heads against the brick wall of people who have not arrived yet to understand the perfection and the purpose of the traditions. But we have experience with them. There's members here that wrote on basic text. There's members here that participated in the Literature Conference. There's members here that was part of World Services when it was totally open. You know? And you can learn from us. Or we can become part of the blob. We can just go, well, you know, shit, man, our service structure don't mean nothing, because after all, how did we get 20,000 meetings a week? Oh, we got it from some fundamentally unsound spiritual principles. That's what we're being asked to believe by this new guide to service and new service structure and principles and all this other kind of hogwash. It's like, you know, you guys got here and it was all wrong. How you did it. That's what they're telling us. Okay? Okay, maybe we should, all NA literature should be written by the processes that have been talked about today. Now, we can do that. It's very easy. You know, you pick up a pen and you start writing, and you know what you do? You get on the telephone and you say, hey, you know, well, I just wrote something. How'd you like to see it? You got a fax machine, you got a computer modem, zoom, and it's gone. We have computer programs and bright, sharp people and fax machines and everything else. Who needs a World Literature Committee? They haven't written nothing in 6 years anyway. But you can write. I can write. I did write. I wrote a 100-page step book. They took one look at it and said, well, this came from you. We're not going to use this. The guy, big guy from Florida, just left. You know, he gave his regional input twice to Bob Stone. Bob Stone lost it. Whoa, you know, we lost it, you know. My region went to the Philadelphia region, went to the conference, and the New Jersey region went to St. Louis looking for our input in World Lit, in the master files. You know, whoop, disappeared. It wasn't even there. Yeah. Hey, folks, it's time to do something different. You know, we can allow, we can eliminate committee and trustee votes at the World Service Conference. That's no guarantee that that'll solve the solution, because there's regions that don't have a conscience. They don't know what it is. They got 40 meetings in it, and the state is 6,000 square miles, and the meetings are 100 miles apart from one another, and they're still going to AA. They haven't even got a first step yet in those regions. So what we're bucking up against something. We've got to exhibit the leadership. We have to exhibit the leadership, you know, or be led. We made motions. I mean, here's 157 motions that was written. You know, they were taken into world committees to be discussed. They weren't even discussed. They were laughed at and tossed over people's heads. Well, let's see, where's this from? Oh, Chesapeake and Potomac. Whoop! Where's this one from? Oh, Philadelphia. Whoop! Where's this one from? New Jersey. Oh, whoop! They didn't discuss anything on the merits of anything. The World Service Conference is not a place to discuss things. It's a place to run on self-will. It's a place to beat each other up. Okay? We could have eliminated the pool of the board of directors and directly elected the members that are in the conference. And when Bob Stone stood up on the Florida conference and says, you can't do that, it's illegal, I went right to my little briefcase, and I got the laws of the state of California, and I said, oh, you're in for a fun conference, Bob. Here's the laws, and I gave it to two lawyers. And the two lawyers, who were RSRs and the trustees, stood up on the Florida conference and said, well, there's nothing in the laws that says we can't elect the directors right directly from the floor. But maybe we want to think about that. Okay. We got to rein in our World Service Office. We got to let the conference and the volunteer service structure administer the copyrights and the money. And we don't want to give them to the Board of Trustees because the Board of Trustees are now in a power-hungry move to take over control of the fellowship. And the single board concept, the merger between the WSO Board of Directors and the WSO Board of Trustees, is a sure lock on the road to the guide to service. So maybe we need to create an independent fiduciary relationship and responsibility vis-a-vis the conference. And maybe we need to sue for the return of our copyrights to their rightful owners, which is you. Okay. Da-da-da-da-da. The most important thing, we've never had a service structure. We've had a lot of descriptions. We've had some nice ideas. We had an NHTREE, and we had a blue manual, and we had a green manual. But we've never had a draft of a service structure. How do you use group conscience? Wow. What does that mean? Well, we inequitably apply that principle on the East Coast pretty much, you know. It's not the same in every region because nobody's ever put a draft together of a service structure that says that even attempted to describe what group conscience is. Group conscience / group tally is a service structure that is yet to be written. And all that means is that the decision of the group is the loving God, and it should be passed through the service structure without interference to the World Service Conference to implement the decisions of the group. It's a structure based on group tally. One group, one vote. Abstentions don't count. It takes 6/10 of all registered groups to pass or fail anything. So if 10,000 groups vote, 6,000 groups vote yes, it's yes. Abstentions don't count. Obviously, they don't have a conscience, so they shouldn't be voting. Abstentions have never meant anything in terms of vote, if you look in Robert's Rules of Order, but we've got four ways of voting on the World Service Conference floor. And abstentions have this. And abstentions, folks, means absent. You're absent. The only legitimate vote is the number of voting people voting, period. End of story. In other words, 2/3 of the yeas or nays, abstentions, are absent. They just are not there unless you have a roll call situation. And blah, 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 blah. So we got, you know, there's a lot of things that we can do. Disband the ad hoc committee on any service. We tried that, you know. To have the fellowship team approach for our literature. To allow our fellowship literature committee, where areas and regions and groups and members can get together and write literature. To preserve literature written by the addict for the addict. To hopefully retain the message and the inspiration and the spirit that was generated by that special process that occurred in the development of NA literature. To print and distribute literature free, allowing our seventh tradition to support these activities. I mean, you know, you see these little free basic texts running around. They're free in home groups, man. They're on the table right out of the baskets, you know. I mean, you can do something. You know, if we get enough people that want to do this as home groups, who the hell are they going to take to court? Who are they going to sue? They're going to sue you, Narcotics Anonymous. They're going to sue your home group. Stand for something. You know, the whole international issue, everybody's on and crying about the international issues and this and that. You know what the international issue is? That we have failed to put our money where our mouth is fellowship. That's what the international issue is. 4 years ago, I proposed a translation plan for literature. That was thrown in the garbage. I re-proposed it. It was thrown in the garbage again. It was thrown in the garbage again. You know what? I'll tell you. If you try to control God in your own personal recovery, you know what the results are? They're pretty disastrous. So if you try to control God in the process of growth and development in our service structure, the results are pretty disastrous. So here's the way to ease all the control out. It's like, okay, gee, obviously we as a world service body have been inept at doing and translating your literature like it should have been done. Here, take a book, take a pamphlet, translate it, print it. End of the international issue. The other issue is international service. Now who the hell are we to be meddling in international service affairs? I mean, let people, according to the laws and the needs of their own fellowship, do their own service. I mean, who the hell are we to dictate the American fellowship? Boy, are we the bigwigs, you know? But we're so busy, getting new budgets and talking about new ways to avoid guidelines that we've ignored our primary purpose. There was not a word that I hear the entire week at the World Service Conference that I not hear that our primary purpose mentioned. Why are we doing this? There was never a moment of reflection. There was never a moment of sober insight and thought about, you know, what is the reason that we're doing this. Yeah, there is a proper application of that word, you know. You know, it was all about budgets. It was all about power. It was all about control. It was all about trustee and admin votes. We wouldn't have gone in the directions that we'd have gone if the regents had voted. Yes, in some cases we would have, but if the regents had voted, we wouldn't have had the necessary two-thirds to pass a lot of the bullshit that passed. We got to fix it. And if it's broke, fix it. If you can't fix it, then get rid of it. And create something, you know. I mean, gosh, there's a loving God that will lead us and guide us in our creative efforts as long as we don't throw blame and point fingers and manipulate and control each other. If we just allow a loving God to be there when we do something, everything is going to work out all right. What happens is God goes out of the picture when we start pointing fingers and throwing blame. And I seem to be pointing fingers and throwing blame up here. You know, and yeah, my personality enters into it. Well, I'll tell you what I'm saying to you and what I'm talking about here, it's all documented. It's all available for anybody. If you doubt me, come to my house. You got a question about anything that I said? Take a note. Write it down. Come and visit me. Take my phone number. Call me. You'll need that to do that for the books anyway. We can provide all WSC minutes, DOT, committee's office, board minutes. I mean, there was a motion passed in 84 to do that. The WSO has never done it. If you call the WSO, you ask for the minutes of the trustee meeting and blah, 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 or minutes of the World Service Conference in 82. They tell you, oh, we don't have that stuff. Well, you know, their guidelines say that they're supposed to have that stuff there available to us. We're talking about, you know, there's no real simple way. There's so many problems and there's so many potential solutions. You know, the solutions and the creativity that it will take to move us out of the abyss of where we are at the moment, you know, it's gonna come from you. It's gonna come from your home group. It's going to come from sitting in meetings like this and going, well, you know, that Dave is full of shit, and I really wouldn't want him running anything. If you don't want me running anything, you better get up and start running it yourself. And if you don't want them running things, then you better get up and start running things yourself. I mean, you are the hope. You are the future. Every addict sitting here in this room and all the people that you sponsor and your sponsors, who have better things to do, you know, now that they got theirs, want to go out and, you know, do whatever they do, You know, it's time, man. Carry the message. That's like, you know, carry. Carry.
Carry the message. Work. You know, work.
Something worth having, worth working for. You know? I don't know where the energy comes from. Because if it was coming from me, I wouldn't be able to sustain the level of commitment. I wouldn't be able to stand in front of people year after year after year after year after year and challenge them. Okay? The energy that you see is coming from personal recovery and understanding of my relationship to a loving God. And I'm not out to people please. I'm not out for you to love me. I'm out to love myself. I'm out to have a loving God think kindly of me when I die. And that may not be too far off. But only God, see, knows that. So I got that AIDS virus, you know. I almost died in October. I know he's keeping me alive so I can come up here and talk to y'all. Because he ain't keeping me alive for my stupid reasons. See what I mean? So, you know, why do I do this? Why in the world would I stand up here and make these fabulous kind of claims and charges and do this year after year after year after year? I don't care if there's a trustee in the room. I don't care if Jesus Christ himself is in the room, because I'm telling the truth. Yeah, the truth sets you free. First, it'll piss you off. If it don't piss you off, then you're probably comatose. I don't know, man. There's like, get yourself a copy of your inventory input documents. You know what? If you didn't see this in your home group, then somebody along the line in your service structure is a censor. Censored your right to know. And we don't, you know, we have such emotional connotations attached to that word. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, censor. But a censor is for me to determine that because this has WSC approved on it, and this has from the inventory input committee, how do I know which one is bullshit or not? Huh? How do I know? If you don't get a chance to judge these things equally, you know, all it is information. Doesn't make it right, doesn't make it wrong. But, you know, I've resigned service positions because people wanted me to determine what was best for them to see. And they hated to see me coming to area service because I always had a stack of shit. You know, I got this in the mail, and I seen this, and I pulled this out of the minutes, and here's from the fellowship report in 84, because it pertains to this service thing that we're doing today, and you take this back to your home, people was going like, get the fuck out of here. And you know what? They asked me to be a censor. I don't have any moral right to determine what it is as a servant that you should see or not see. I cannot make that moral determination, so I resigned my service position. And I brought the stuff anyway. You know? And you know what? After the World Service Conference, they were having a meeting in my old area at the area service, and you know what? They was all upset because all the stuff that was passed at the World Service Conference, they were, this sucks, this is terrible, well, how did they do this? And somebody says, well, you know, Grateful Dave was telling us about this stuff 2-3 years ago. And nobody wanted to listen to him then. So there was dead silence in the room for 2 minutes. You could hear a pin drop in the room. And I don't say that to pat myself on the back. I say that's your job as well, as a member of Narcotics Anonymous, to know where you are in reality. But addicts like to duck reality. Hey, man, reality is reality. We got real problems, and there are real solutions. Somebody says, well,
Is it feasible that we can print our own literature?
Yeah, it's feasible.
Here it is.
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, we can. See? Is it feasible? Obviously, it is. And if you have a problem with that, that's all right. Because if you need more information, rather than getting these scary letters from the Board of Trustees, oh, these big chingoons, man, they tell... you read it all. It's all lies. Everything that's in there, I asked them to answer that question. They're in the grain of truth in them letters. About what they're telling you about that basic text. Not a single shred of truth in it. And if you want more information is available to you. If you need to be at the quarterly workshop tomorrow, when we take a big tape of the World Service Office Board of Directors chair, saying, well, you know, gee, you guys can print anything you want to in your home group. Won't that be nice? We'll play that in front of everybody. That's permission to print. The Board of Directors chair gave the groups permission to print. Now, he may deny that in public, but boy, won't he be embarrassed when we crank that up full volume. Won't that be an interesting thing when one of the trustees says, I don't believe in you selling a book. I mean, it's terrible. You're using the book as a political football. When 500 books were sold out of his house in Georgia. Stand for something or fall for anything. See what I mean? You can't be a flip-flop. Because nobody, including yourself, will ultimately respect you for being a flip-flop. Either you are an us or you are a them. You either are part of the solution or you are the problem. That's the bottom line, man. And I don't care how you slice it. The only gray area in spiritual principles exists between your right ear and your left ear.
You have your hand up, Tom. Well, there's a mic there. Yeah, Matt.
I'm an addict on that. And, you know, what I wanted to know, I mean, and I know there's no simple solution to this because, you know, it's like the nature of addiction to seek like a quick, you know, fix or easy solution. It's just, you know, kind of what message to carry back. Because I've been, you know, bringing back a lot of materials and bringing stuff to my home group and showing them and those that read it. You know, my home group is like wavering, but they're like halfway to approving, you know, the basic text over there. Approving the basic text, right. But, you know, I'm catching slack and shit in other meetings because I'm the only one with one of these, and I'm going to start giving them out, but the people, you know, everybody's like jumping on me for bringing them into a meeting, but they all want one and shit, and they probably not going to want to pay for one either, but I bring them back, give it to them anyway, and you know, I just I'm looking for some ground to stand on that's a little bit more simpler to explain, because you just can't fucking understand all this stuff. You know, in one day, I can't say anything in 5 minutes that's going to convince anybody. And, you know, like nobody wanted to come out. The whole area told me to come out here and get information, you know, and bring it back to them. You know, and we talk about getting involved. And people in my home, in my area, they'll tell you about having a home group and you know, and group conscience and all that. You know, but it's a little, it's like... I don't know, I guess on this one, so far I'm standing, I'm not alone, I got a couple friends with me. I'm not alone even in my area, but I'm in like real significant minority, and you know, if you got anything for me to go back with, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you.
got one thing to say that she can go back with. God loves a servant. You know, just serve, brother, serve. You know, that's it, man. They cut off John the Baptist's head, you know. But God loves a servant. Just keep on serving.
What do you want, Bob?
I'm an acronym, it's Bob. Just a drop in the bucket. Sounds like with the things in question, a lot of it's about, besides the classical signs of fanatic, you know, the egotistical, the power seeking, the conniving, the compromising, the easiest way out, the quick fix. You know, what I've heard mostly is violation of the traditions. What is truly being followed? And if it's the traditions and the spiritual principles, I don't know where we can keep ourselves in check. Somebody's running wild. I can also put blame on myself as an individual member. As came back from an area, yes, you have a certain amount of people attending home groups, and a percentage of them attending group conscience, and a percentage of them holding positions, and a percentage of that actually being gung-ho toward the continuance of this fellowship. And I take the blame for that. Because I'm guilty of that too. That's come back from an area from which people are misled and not informed. Whereas for the last 2 months, not sure about the third, but for the last 2 months, in area service committee meetings, we did not have enough GSRs to meet quorum for group motions. All we could do was for the meeting reports, secondary reports, and go home after group hug. What is missing with this picture? People are not getting the right facts. People are not getting the right idea about the fellowship. And I'm part of the blame. Because I am trying to be a responsible member of Narcotics Anonymous. Sure, it may sound like there's a lot of problems up at world level, but it begins then at home group. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Bob. I'm an addict. My name's Bill. It's solutions. I think that's more of an emphasis on, I think, that the need for solutions is the most important thing that an addict can seek. You know, and I come to Narcotics Anonymous in 1979 for a solution. You know, and that solution that I was given was a path of recovery to follow. I listened this weekend, and what I heard was a lot of information that I've already had, a lot of information that I haven't had. I'm part of the history. Everyone that's in this room is part of the history. History is a continuous thing. It grows daily. History is something that I study in college and do very well and get A's in, because history excites me. And history itself is something that, you know, I look at in two different ways. You have to look at the whole picture. You know, it's like I studied the French Revolution this last semester, which led into modern European history. And to remove Napoleon from the whole picture would have changed the whole history of the world as we know it today. You know, and to try to remove a piece of our history and say it did not exist would be part of the problem. And the solution is to get our history down. I think that's one of the main solutions that I'm looking at. And what I'm enthused about is I'm enthused about going to Alabama, which I'm going to. I'm enthused about communication with some of the people I've met here this weekend. Not met, but some of the relationships that I've had with people that I've got to meet again. Some of the communications I've had from participating and putting on this history workshop with Jimmy's wife. You know, a 3.5-hour conversation on the telephone. And took me back to the days when Jimmy was my link to Narcotics Anonymous. You know, Jimmy was my link when I couldn't find no one else at 3 o'clock in the morning and I couldn't go to sleep because I was going through a 2-year withdrawal from meth. And he was my conversation piece to get me through till I went to work. And it took me back to that, talking to Betty. It took me back to that, and the solution is living a principle, first of all, in one's own personal life, and becoming at peace with oneself inside. The solution is not in me trying to come to a point of, what's that word, conformatory? To conform to everything that falls, that you say, this is what we do. And if you're out of unity, if you don't fall in, it ain't uniformity. That's not the solution. The solution is becoming an individual, being able to make decisions, to be able to collect information before the decision's made on what we have to do. The solution is seeking all that information, seeking everything that comes for us to make a decision upon, and looking for all sides of an issue. The literature is the main issue we've been bringing out here this week in the history and literature process. The reason the literature process is brought out is because a mainstay of our history is around literature. The literature of what I was introduced to. The literature of the writing of the basic texts. The little white book that they called Hip Pocket Recovery when I first came in. That was handed to me, and it fit squarely in my back pocket. You know, and I come to understand what a little white book is. What it was my basic text. Today, we give it usually to all newcomers. It's a little basic text is what it is, because the basic text was built from that white book as a model. You know, it was a springboard. And that's what I have to look at when I'm looking for solutions. What worked? What worked in the past is what we got to seek, and what worked was an open communication. So that's something we need to start establishing again, open communication across the board. What worked was telling people that they can seek their goals and rise above and accomplish things. I mean, if you would have told me that we couldn't do this, I probably wouldn't be here today. What I was introduced to was, I ran into a bunch of people that were writing a book. And they gave me a great book, and they gave me a four-step inventory guide, and someone told me to work the steps or die, motherfucker. Factual words. I'm not going to tell you that he said it any other word, because that's the way the man told me. I took this gray book home. That gray book, I didn't look at the cover as review and input. I looked at that as Narcotics Anonymous, and I went home, and the history in this area is, and I don't care what people have to say, to document what happened was I come to the home group, this home group, I walked in, and I picked all the AA literature up, and all the DNA literature, and I dumped it in the garbage can. And I slapped this book down the table, and I told them, here's our book. It didn't matter that it was unpublished. I mean, that wasn't approved. It didn't matter. It was a piece of literature that spoke to addicts. And that's because some people took the what was needed to be done and went with it, and they went around the country. And they didn't write it for us, but they encouraged us to get involved in the writing of it. And it was open committee. So that's something that worked. The problems to our what we call an international fellowship somehow confuses me, because if you're over in France right now and I'm in America, I'm international to you. So I get confused at this separation. It's a worldwide fellowship. And the way is teaching them how to do it themselves, not to do it for them. What we've turned our world service, and I say what we turned our world services into, is a place to get it all done at. And somehow we need to come to a point where we can, need to learn how to reverse that process and go back to getting the addicts to do the work for themselves and accomplishing their goals and teaching them instead of doing them things. How was it done before? How? And what it does is creativity. That's the basic thing. There's two different types of philosophies we're dealing with. One is business and one is creativity. One is personal growth. One is profit, product. And the fellowship makes a choice, and it's a choice that's made, and I had to learn that as being an RSR for 4 years and being a World PI Vice Chair. The choice that was made is that there's regions that do not seek accountability of RSRs and do tell them that they can vote whatever way they want. And then there's RSRs that go there with I'm getting my jump rattle, I guess. Gonna stutter, huh? I don't get my dictionary. So what happens is you're directed, you go follow your direction, and you do a well job at it, and then you're in a political system that I feel doesn't work. But why? What's there a solution? If it doesn't work, why? What's the solution to getting it to work? One thing is, I believe we elect and trust the servants the minute the conference opens. If you elect them from the start, you don't have to worry about when to get to the mic or not. The other thing I believe is seeking a way to seek what the regions want. What do you actually want as a fellowship? That's what they ask when we're writing the book. What do you want in your book? Every home group got a gray book that was listed. Every home group got one that was listed. Even dead people got them that were listed. I mean, let's get for real. They seeked and they tried to find whoever was out there to get them a book and get them involved. And that's a solution. I mean, I'm taking to my home group to get these tapes transcribed and get that copy sent out to wherever we can get them sent out of what happened. Above board. Above board communication. And we start that at the home group level, though. By protecting ourselves from ourselves. The major thing that we need to seek. I mean, I can leave here with going back to a home group, which this is my home group that's putting this function on, but I can go back to the home group I belong to with information. And that's what I need to go back with. What can we do? What can I do as a personal member of Narcotics Anonymous? I don't want a new fellowship. I want a fellowship that's above board, open communication. I had a talk with the board of director chairperson, and he asked me, "What do you want?" And I said, "A full accountability, full disclosure of the World Service Office." And we can ask for that. But that's our choice to ask for that or not. It's our choice to say that's what we want. We only allow something to run amok, or we allow it to not run amok. But the what I've come to believe is the more open communication, the more workshops. Go to your wherever you're from. If you're not from here, go to wherever you're from and ask your group to schedule a history workshop. You don't need your area to do it. A group can do it. A group has that right to be autonomous, and that's what a lot of us seem to forget. What can a group do? Narcotics Anonymous was not set up to be centralized.